everybody. How y'all doing tonight? I want to thank y'all for joining us tonight. I know it's we're on a weekday. It's a Thursday, and but it's no better time to do the show. I'm Josh Carter.
And I'm James Bush.
Guys, we've got a great show lined up for you guys. I know it's been a while since we've done one. It's just been so much going on with, just the kayak fishing. We've been doing vacations and also, you know, a lot of people seen where I had my trip to New York. That's what I call it, my trip to New York, because it wasn't no fishing involved. But I did have a good time and had an opportunity to meet some really great people doing that and make some good friends. So, but anyways, we got a great show lined up. We'll have Brian Thrift on later. He's going to be our main event, what we're going to call it. He'll come on later and talk about, winning angle of the year in FLW Tour Series, which is the second one. And it was awesome to be able to get him to come on, be able to get in touch with him and, get him to come on. So, and we all know he's a stick when it comes to covering water and what I like to call junk fishing. He's really good at it. So, he just knows how to catch them all different ways. Very versatile. But, James, how you been, man? We finally got to meet up and do some fishing, last weekend on I'm going to call it Lake X. We don't want nobody to know about our secret spot, but, man, I had a good time fishing with you.
Oh yeah, it was great. It was fun getting out on the water again together. It's been a long time.
Yeah, we you lost a nice one that could possibly have you doing pretty good on the board. We'll get to that here in a little while, but I'm going to keep rubbing that in.
I know, I see that.
But
right now I'm still in front of you, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's right. I can't. You were still in front of me that day, so I can't give you too much of a hard time, but yeah, I had a good time, and it's been a long time since we was able to fish that body of water, and I know we had higher hopes going into that tournament, and going into that water, but it didn't quite happen the way we wanted it to happen. So
hey, it's slowing it down right now. It's a storm rolling through big time right now at my house.
Oh yeah, we had two roll through just a little while ago, and I just want to let everybody know that with all the storms going on, we might have some streaming issues and all that. So, but hopefully everything works out. But anyways, guys, I want to talk at first before we get too far about our contests we got going on. It's we're trying to get to 200 subscribers. We're at 121 now, so I want to thank everybody that has subscribed. I really appreciate it, and I thought it was almost, I'm going to say not impossible, but it was going to be a hard one to get to. So hold on a second, I'm getting a text here from Brian. Let me take care of that. So right now everybody's been doing really well, but you can see on the screen right now, this is everything that we're giving away in the contest from all our sponsors. And so please go subscribe. After you watch this, please go subscribe. I know right now we're having some streaming issues, and I think a lot of that is to the storm. Anyways, sorry, I'm getting kind of sidetracked here while I'm trying to take care of something. Just hold on one second. This is our contest. Check it out. It's a lot of great stuff in there from J&J Custom Tackles, Missile Baits, Bob's Up the Creek Outfitters, Bigfoot Baits, and we also got Mystery Fishing Crate. They've got some stuff in there, and then we got a hat and a shirt in there as well. So as soon as we get to those 200 subscribers, guys, we're going to pick from our subscribers and get this package out to y'all. We also got one more package that's going on, right? One more contest that's going on right now, and that is our 1,000 followers on Facebook. So we're close, guys. It's it's really close. So if we can just like, share, tell your friends, we'll be doing another prize pack with that. Not quite as big as our YouTube one, but it's going to be another prize pack. So, but anyways, so Bob's Up the Creek Outfitters, and One Objective has come together on doing a kayak tournament. It's been going really well. We ain't have as many people in here as we wanted right now. I was trying to hope for more of a 20-boat field. We're at 12 right now. Everybody still has till the 9th of this weekend. So I think it's Sunday is the deadline to sign up. Guys, there's still time. It's the beginning of the month. You ain't too far behind if you start. And, I mean, shoot, it wouldn't take much. I mean, let me pull up where we're at. So here is the stats of where we're at. This is the top six. Now, on this tournament that we teamed up with Bob's Up the Creek Outfitters, it's called the Blue Ridge Paddlers Bass Classic. We're going to take the top six at the end of the month, and we're going to go fish a special lake. I don't know nothing about it. Nobody else except Bob himself knows about it. So, but anyways, right now, I know Jason Hensley, he put in a monster one not too long ago. And it's a good fish. And I don't want to butcher his name up, but it's Colland. He was actually leading it there until Jason Hensley put his in. But anyways, me and James was leading it. But, I mean, really, what, James, what did we have there for a little while? We had a bunch of you had 12. So I had 11.5-inch fish, man.
Yeah, we still, I mean, between 11 and a 12, it's not that, big a difference.
No.
Shoot. I might have to go inside to power this one out.
I got you. All right, well, if we lose you, man, I'll just keep on talking as I usually do.
All right, yeah, I better go check on those kiddos real quick.
All right, man, we'll just call back
in. I'll call back in. All right,
buddy. Bye. Well, like I said, we got a lot of big storms going on right now, and he's got some big thunder boomers going through right now. So we lost power earlier, and I'm hoping we don't do it again. But anyways, we teamed up with I'll get back into it. I keep getting out of it. But we teamed up with Bob's Up Creek Outfitters, which y'all know is our sponsor. But we come together, and we're putting on this tournament. We got one sponsor that has come in for the fish off. That's going to be August 26th. That's a Weldex. It's a company here in Bedford, Virginia. I'll do some more about them here shortly. But they're coming in. They're putting up a good donation for the first place winner. And then we got another one. Jason Christen, he put in with his business, his pressure washing business, he's putting in sorry, I can't get your name right now, Jason. It just slipped my mind. I did have it written down. I'm going to do my paperwork. But he's putting in a generous donation as well. So if we could just get some more sponsors coming in. I know Bob, they're going to be doing a big cookout for everybody. So that's going to be nice. While we're all out there fishing, we can come in and eat. I'm really trying to work with them about doing some demo stuff. If I don't make it, I'll have my boat up there, and I'll go ahead and get people can demo mine. I'm gonna have mine decked out. I got the just got the yak lights in. Working on doing a video, putting those in. So, anyways, y'all be able to see that on my boat. But yeah, this tournament has been really fun. It was a little stressful at first trying to get it together, just because this is the first one that we've ever put together. And I really want to thank Casey Reeds. He's really helped us out on putting this together. He's actually one that's being the judge for the fish. So yeah, he's worked with us a lot. I know he's probably had to put up some aggravation with us, just trying to get it all together. Bob, he's had to work with me we both got an idea what we wanted. And it's like I said, it's our first one doing it. And especially this format with the fish off at the end, so we're trying to make everything work right. But anyways, the top six, when they go to this lake, we're going to have their fish off that day, and somebody will get something out of it when they leave there. No one's going to leave empty-handed on it. So just really excited about doing this. It's my first year doing kayak tournaments. I've been fishing some of Casey's tournaments and had a blast doing it. I'm going to tell you what, there is some good sticks in this kayak tournament. I think we got James back here. You back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. You know me, man. I'm just rambling on. So the show must go on.
I hear you.
Everything all right back at home?
Yeah, as soon as I got off the phone, the power come right back on. So
I
think they'll be fine.
But I was just kind of talking about how our first year doing kayak tournaments, and I know last weekend was your first time getting out there, and what did you think, man? I mean, it's different. It's a different format, especially with trying to measure a fish that is bouncing around on you and all that.
Yeah, to me, it seems like the main thing is just letting the fish wear out, you know, before you put them on the board is the main deal.
Yeah.
I know this past weekend I put them on, was it Monday or Tuesday? I went fishing for a little bit down at the Chowan River. And
tell us a little bit about the other fish that you had on it. Kind of hurt you a little bit.
Well, I had forgot to print my number off, so I put the fish grips on them, and was going paddle back so I could get my wife to hand me my number, and I got up to the dock and the kids started playing with the fish, and accidentally let one go. And, it was a nice fish, but it wasn't like, you know,
yeah,
a crazy size fish. It was 14 and a quarter, but it definitely would help right now. But
yeah,
is it going to be a fish that's going to probably, you know, win it for me? Probably not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it wasn't that big a loss, but, you know.
Well, I mean, if you look at
upsetting, but then I went right back out, tossed right back in the same spot and caught an 18-incher. So maybe it played out better than I thought, you know, maybe letting that spot rest for a few while I had to run away. Might have reloaded it, you know, with an 18-inch fish. So.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, you know, I'm kind of looking at your standings right now. You're at 67 and a quarter. I mean, if it was a 14-inch fish, you would have called out one. What'd you had? You had a 12 you had to call. Would you have all 12?
It would be it would be 2.5 inches, maybe. It
yeah,
wouldn't
so
have
you're
been
sitting
enough
about
to even 69. Push me into 70. Yeah,
no,
it still wouldn't have put me at the 70 range. So I need some big ones.
Yeah, well, we need a limit of 14s right now, and then kind of move on up to some bigger ones. You know, you got to have at least a 18 or at least a 19, 20-inch fish, it seems like, when I just look at these tournaments. And sometimes, too, to be able to stay up there in the top three to compete. So, I mean, we got a long ways to go. The month is just beginning good, so I'm really excited about how that's going.
I mean, I had one on that would have been at least that.
Oh, dude. That one you lost was a nice fish. That was
yeah,
every bit of a four pound fish. Over three,
yeah,
definitely, but probably a 4 pound fish. So that would have probably put you at that 20-inch mark, 19, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then it'd be a different story right now. You'd be in the 70s. Might be in second place.
Yeah. Maybe. We'll never know.
No, we won't. But it's something I did learn, man. Like, I like work, and I've really started working a frog more this year than I ever have. I guess I got kind of hooked on it last year, James. I mean, you went down there and was throwing those Bigfoot bait frogs. And had all those blow ups, you know, and after that, it was just, it's been an addiction to me. So, you know, at Lake X where we was fishing at, I got on it on a pretty decent, I won't say a decent frog bite. I wouldn't catch a monster by no means. You can look at the board, but all those fish pretty much come off of a frog when I got them to make contact. And this is the issue that I was having, and I'd like to see if anybody else has any issues with it. Frog fishing in a kayak. Now, I'm using braid, and it, like I say, it could have been something with my rod. Maybe I didn't have the right action. But I was using a heavy action rod, and we were fishing kind of, what did you say? It's, I guess it was some grass and muck on the side of the on the bank. But I just couldn't get the hookups like I would like if I was fishing like standing up in my bass boat. I don't know if it's just where I'm sitting so low, I'm not getting a good hook set or what. But now I know sometimes I'm jerking it out their mouth too quick, you know. But I don't know. It's different. It's definitely different in a kayak because when you set the hook on a fish, you're getting pulled towards the fish. So I don't feel like you get that great of a hook set.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's why I lost that bigger fish. Because in most of my fish that I hooked, and I was pretty much throwing the Texas rig, but I was throwing the topwater too, but all the Texas rig fish that I caught, I never was getting them hooked really, really good.
Yeah.
But it's addicting. I mean, when I caught that 18-inch fish, I mean, it pushed me all up into trees and everything. I couldn't do nothing with it. It was, it's a lot of cypress trees down there. So it's a lot of cypress knees, and it pushed me all up into trees. And I was really worried about it getting caught up on a cypress knee, just me losing it, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a whole different ball game. Whole different ball game, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a definitely a lot to learn and your setup, but so far it's been a blast doing it, and I really do like to thank Bob for the opportunity to put us in this opportunity to do it, because it has been, without Bob it might not have happened. You know, I'd probably still be fishing in a bass boat, but
had a blast. I haven't even used my bass boat this year, period.
Yeah.
Every time I went out, I've used my kayak. So it's addicting. Yeah. It really is. And I've noticed just getting more and more used to it. I really liked using your wife's kayak the other day. That's really
the
easy
yellowfin.
To maneuver and everything. The yellowfin is really nice to maneuver.
Yeah.
It's a good kayak.
Yeah, my cousin used that when we went down to Bugs Island. And, I don't know if most of our listeners might know what that is, where that is. Some don't. But Bugs Island is a big lake. It's a – you probably put two some kind of lakes inside in Bugs Island. But it's big water. So it's kind of intimidating when you got on a bass boat sometimes in certain areas you go, especially when the wind gets up. But we went out in the kayaks, and my cousin loved it, man. You know, he had a good time. And I'm just really impressed how stable the yellowfin is. I'm actually thinking about getting a yellowfin next year for floating some of the smaller rivers around here. So I like my Sea Ghost 130, but, you know, just trying to turn it real quick in some of these smaller rivers, I think I'd be better off with my yellowfin on that. So not saying the Sea Ghost won't do it. I just think I want the yellowfin for smaller waters. So far it's been a blast. I don't want to keep rambling on. We got a lot of time to go, and you know, me and James won't be able to get much fishing in this coming up week. We're gonna go to ICAST. Just got my camera. I sent James some pictures earlier, got my camera all set up finally. Ready to start using that and shooting some video and getting some good quality video. I got one video coming out right now with the deck pads we just installed on my Vibe. So kind of instructional video. It's a pretty self-explanatory thing to do when you get your pads. But I just put it out there just in case some people wanted to see how they were just installed and how they looked. So pretty simple. I mean, really shooting a video, we did different clips. It took us, 15, 20 minutes just getting the camera and set up. But in all honesty, if you did it right, it shouldn't take you no more than 10 minutes at the most to do it. So it ain't like you're losing a lot of time messing with kayak and to be fishing. So We got that video coming out here soon. I've actually been editing it the last, I don't know, day or so when I get a chance. But other than that, there was one more thing I wanted to touch base on. And I totally lost it, man. But, oh, one thing I did, we was talking about ICAST. That's what it was. James, I don't know if you've been reading any of the emails here lately, but all the new products that are coming out.
Yes.
And there's some apparel line that's coming out that's really caught our eyes. But the biggest thing that has caught my eye is the Bonafide kayaks. Have you watched their video yet, James? They don't even show the kayak yet. It shows bits and pieces of it, but I don't know if you've checked them out yet.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, when you were telling me about it, yeah, I went on there, and like you said, you really can't see anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what it is, you know, because, I mean, they're saying that's, you know, the next best thing, you know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be changing the kayak industry, you know, which everything you hear about ICAST is game-changing, and it's going to be the newest and best stuff. And the last couple of years, you see some cool stuff, but I ain't been really impressed with what's come out, you know. That right there looks like so far it's really catching my eye on what's coming out. So that and, you know, I think that's really about the biggest thing that's, you know, out of everything I've seen. You know, like I said, there is some apparel lines we've been looking at, and
it's so much stuff that we get emailed on every day. It's hard to pick and choose which ones, you know. A lot of it's stuff that I haven't heard of before, and some of it is, you know. Crazy. This is going to be a huge, huge show. But you figure some of it's saltwater fishing, too. And, you know, so maybe that's why I haven't heard of some of it.
Well, that's like that one thing. You got an invitation for today, after party, what they call it. And a lot of that's what that was saltwater fishing stuff. So, but anyways, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a cool event. First time for us going to ICAST. I know Costa, they got a couple of good sunglass colors they've been coming out with. And what's that one? James, I can't ever think of the name of that one that I've been wanting to get.
Sunrise.
The Sunrise, yeah. When went to New York, which I'll try to talk about that after. We might be trying to get Brian Thrift on here in a little bit. Actually, I'll talk about it now before we get too far, because it depends on how long Brian talks. Most of y'all know that I got my, I posted on Facebook and all that. I got, and, was able to go up there and fish the Coastal Series as a co-angler, and finally got the confirmation email that I was in the tournament. And the reason why I'm going on this is because I've had a lot of people ask and I don't respond to some stuff just because it takes forever to explain it. But anyways, made that long 12-hour drive, 12 and a half, depending on how it was with the traffic and all that. But got up there, helped Costa hand out some hats and stuff, which was awesome. Had a good time with Dylan, talking to Dylan, talking fishing. Anyway, got an angler meeting, come out. Well, you know, anybody that fishes the FLW stuff knows you get a text message who your partner's going to be and their phone number. And I didn't get that. So I was a little concerned, but I was like, it's just a – just a mishap or whatever, a glitch. So go over and talk, and she told me that I didn't get in because I was signed up later, and I guess two of the boaters didn't register that night that was already signed up. So that knocked me out. So they told me to go to the boat ramp the next morning and wait and see if anybody doesn't fish or sleeps in, I'll be able to take their spot. Well, that didn't happen. So, but anyways, FLW called me today, actually, and everything's going to be all right. They're making everything right. No hard feelings towards FLW. That's just the name of the game. I mean, it happens all the time, the BFL stuff, too. You know, if you don't sign up with somebody when you do it, you got a good chance of not getting in. So rule of thumb, if you're going to fish anything in FLW, try to get signed up with somebody. I know, James, you did it when you did it with the BFL. I got lucky. I never did as a boater, and I got in them, but it's still that chance.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so, yeah, I had to turn around and make the drive back, which it was fine. I actually got a chance to go by Cabela's up there in Pennsylvania, if you ever get the chance to go by that one. Never been. I recommend it to everybody. Go to that Cabela's. It's huge. Huge. More of a hunting store, I think, than anything, but they got a lot of fishing stuff as well. But yeah, I had a good time. Anyway, come back, and then we went to the beach. I got over pretty quick, ready to get going to ICAST now. So let me text Brian and get him to go ahead and call in, and we can start talking about covering water and how to win Angle of the Year in FLW Tour Series. James, is still storming down there?
It actually looks like it's done passed over right now. It was rocking this thing there for a minute.
the first one that come through, man, the wind was blowing like crazy. Gotta hate to get caught out there on the lake or something.
Yeah, it came through pretty fast, though. I mean, I've only been back on the phone for 18 minutes, so.
Yeah.
In total, that storm probably didn't last 15 minutes, but it come through here hard. That's for sure. I'm sure the wife and the kiddos, when the power went out, they started slipping out.
Yeah, I think we're pretty clear now on it coming. So, all right, well, guys, we got Brian Thurtis calling in right now. Let me go ahead and get to him. Hey, Brian, how you doing, bud?
Oh, doing great. How are y'all?
Oh,
pretty good.
Bad.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, bud, I appreciate you calling in tonight.
Yes, sir.
I was trying to get you earlier, but 4th of July was coming up. I didn't want to mess up no plans. Nobody had to worry about doing this. So. But how was your 4th? Did you get out and do any fishing, or you just kind of just enjoy the holiday?
We enjoyed the holiday. We went on vacation and just kind of kicked back and relaxed.
Gotcha. Well, Brian, I want to congratulate you on your Angle of the Year. I know that's a tough one to win, to be consistent all year long and be able to pull that off, especially, you know, you had two second-place finishes back-to-back like that. I mean, that's amazing there in itself. I know you wanted to win, but it was just cool watching FLW start out like it was.
Yeah, it was an interesting start to the season with me and Mark finishing first and second in the first two events. I mean, that's something you probably never see again, the same two guys finishing first and second back-to-back.
Did you tell them after the second one, I'm coming for you next time, and it ain't going to happen again?
No, I know better than to do that.
Yeah, it kind of bites you in the butt when you do that.
Yes, sir, every time.
Well, tell us a little bit now, you know, when you won Angle of the Year, looking back, what was key to winning that this year? I know consistency, but what was big for you, you know, either lure-wise or what?
Probably the one thing that was the biggest key this year was that DeMeke Stinger. I mean, I caught fish in every event on it all year long that I weighed in. You know, that was probably my number one bait this year was the 5-inch DeMeke Stinger and the 4-inch DeMeke Stinger.
Gotcha. Now, what was some of your best lakes that you had? Was there any lakes that you wish you would have kind of went back and be like, man, I should have done something better? Or, I mean, pretty happy with how everything, well, I know, of course, you are because you went into the year, but was there anything you could have changed?
Not really. I mean, I feel like I fished every event to the best of my ability. I mean, I feel like I made good decisions. It just a couple of them didn't work out. Like the Mississippi River, that was probably the only one things didn't work out. But, you know, based on my practice and what I ended up catching in the tournament, that was about right on track with what I thought I could do, you know. And I was kind of happy to finish where I did, you know, getting a top 60 finish and at least not taking myself out of Angler of the Year race. But, I mean, if there was anyone I could have a 30-minute do-over on, it would probably be Lake Travis, because I think I could have won it if I'd have done a few things different.
Yeah, that was a good event. But, you know, we're going to kind of go into what we're talking about, the Win Angler Year. But I want to talk about covering water, you know. Is that something you do all year long, or let's say when the fish are slow, you kind of find one spot and hunker down, or do you cover it like that all year long? I mean,
I try to cover a lot of water, but you know, sometimes you can't. I mean, sometimes you find one deal and you've got to try to make it work for 4 days. You know, I mean, I did that a couple of places this year. I mean, at Gunnersville and Harris Chain specifically, you know, I had one group of fish and I just pretty much camped on them for 4 days and tried to catch as much as I could off of them.
Yeah. Now, when do you think that, you know, like say, when it comes to covering water, what time of the year, do you think that's more of your summertime pattern? Because I know you like, I guess you like fishing shallower, but you can make it work deep too. But trying to think how I wanted to put that question out. But what is it, summertime like your best time to really focus on covering as much water as possible?
I mean, that's definitely one of the key times to do it, but you can make it work all year long. I mean, anytime you get on a pattern, essentially you can just cover water and run that pattern. Even, I mean, if it's a top water pattern or cranking points or just whatever. I mean, when you get on a bite that you know if there's a fish there, he's going to bite quick, that's when you cover water. That's when you pull up there, make 5-6 casts. You know, if you catch one, you've caught him, and if you don't, he's not there, crank up and go to the next one type deal. So it kind of all depends on what kind of bite you're on.
Yeah. Now, you more of like you watch FLW, you're always going back, way back in these pockets or way up a river. Is that what you pretty much consider yourself, as like a river fisherman?
No, I hate fishing rivers. I really do. It's just a matter of that's what you find. I mean, in practice is the biggest thing. I mean, I sample everything. I mean, I don't like fishing rivers, but I still check them out in practice because you never know what you're going to find.
Yeah, that's right. Now, like when you go down breaking down a lake, how do you break, you know, I hear some guys talking about they split the lake in three different parts and they fish it all. I mean, do you kind of, is that how you do it?
No, not really. I just burn a lot of gas through that Evinrude G2 every day. I mean, I'll empty the tank every day of practice. And, I mean, I may run a complete lap around the whole lake for all three days of practice. So it's...
Wow.
It's kind of a... Like, I especially do the first day because, you know, if I find something or see something that looks good, I mean, I know what I've got in front of me. So the second day of practice, if I get on a bite doing something, I'll know where more like it is. I can run sample other places I seen the first day that I maybe didn't cast on or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
James, you got anything question-wise?
No. At the beginning, you said that the minke used it all throughout the year, pretty much was your key bait. Is there specific, like, do you only use, like, a certain amount of colors, or do you have a color for each lake that you go to? You know, because I know certain colors are just.
Yeah, I let water clarity determine the color I use. I mean, 99% of the time I'm going to either be throwing watermelon candy or green pumpkin or June bug, one of those three colors, because, I mean, that's going to cover everything from dirty water to, you know, gin clear water. And that's pretty much all I ever carry with me, and that'll get bit in any water color you come across.
Yeah, because me and Josh, we were talking about that earlier, and I said, you know, I've downsized, you know, you got all these colors out there, and I've pretty much set myself up. I've got two or three colors that I throw consistently.
Yeah,
I seem like I do so much better because I don't have 100 different baits. It's just different sizes of that bait.
Right, exactly. I mean, you just want a different profile. I mean, to me, I don't think color is that important, just as long as it matches the water clarity.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now, being from North Carolina, I mean, is a lot of these lakes set up like a lot? I know, like, fish in Virginia. You go to swim that lake, and that's one of the toughest lakes for me. I can't stand to fish that lake most of the time. But it seems like when I can come down to North Carolina, fish Bugs Island, Gaston, and, you know, some of the other lakes down through there, those fish seem to set up like a lake should set up. Now, when you go to other lakes, is it pretty much do a lot of them set up kind of like how the North Carolina lakes, South Carolina lakes, and all that set up?
Yeah, sometimes they do, but it's, I mean, pretty much just trial and error. I mean, pretty much all we do around here is fish boat docks. So.
Yeah.
I mean, and most of the lakes we go to don't have docks on them.
Yeah, so it's just kind of understanding the fish and just going fishing. Fish is a fish no matter where you go.
Yeah, I mean, fish is a fish. They eat the same thing everywhere across the country.
Yeah, yeah.
You just got to cover water, and that's the biggest thing.
I got you. I know, you know, some people have seen that the schedule for next year and all that for FLW. Are you really looking forward to how that schedule's setting up?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't actually seen it, so I've kind of heard a few rumors, but whatever, wherever we go, I'm ready to go. I mean, it's going to be the same for everybody. So
that's right.
It doesn't bother me where we go. I mean, I love going to new lakes, places I've never been to before, and that's probably one of my favorite things to do. I mean, this year was an awesome year for that. I'd never been to Harris Chain, Mississippi River. I'd never been to it, never been to Cumberland. So it was fun this year.
Yeah, that's what I like to see. You know, there for YFLW was kind of fishing a lot of the same stuff over and over. And I know bass will get into that sometimes too. And it's nice to see them kind of mix it up and, you know, give it a twist for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to throw in some new lakes. But, you know, it's hard to do that because there's only so many lakes in the country that's capable of holding a tournament of that size. I mean, with that many boats, and especially for a 4-day event. But
yeah,
it's nice doing that.
Now, do you fish? I know you fish some of the open tournaments, but what's the ones you mainly fish? I mean, you normally fishing just the central ones?
No, I'm just fishing. I just fish the southeastern coast this year, and the tours all I fished.
I got you. I know some of the guys will kind of try to fish all of them and that too. It's like, that's crazy. You stay away from home that much fishing all that.
Yeah, and this spring was tough. I mean, the southeastern coasters were all kind of packed in the springtime with the tour events. I mean, March, April, and May was pretty hectic. But we made it through it and ready to do it again.
That's right. That's right. Now, we kind of got off a little bit. We're kind of getting back on the subject of covering water. You know, a lot of people like flipping plastics and jigs and stuff like that. But what are some other kind of baits that you like to use to really go in and dial in, like covering water and fishing things that fish are there?
My favorite thing to do is throw top water. I mean, just go down the bank heaving a top water. I mean, that's one of the funnest things you can do, and it's a great way to win tournaments. You know, I mean, pretty much from pre-spawn to they go to the winter patterns. I mean, you can get a top water bite. Usually, it's going to be a better than average fish. I mean, starting out, I mean, if I feel like I can get a top water bite, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be covering water, whether it's throwing a buzz bait or a D'Amico D-Pop or something like that.
What's the water temperature normally try to be at when you start working that top water pattern?
Usually it's around the mid-50s. I mean, pre-spawn, if I get sunny days and the water's in the mid-50s and there's fish up shallow, I'll start slinging it when it's pretty cold. I mean,
wow. Around here, I'm still throwing a jerkbait in the mid-50s. I ain't even trying to drop water.
Yeah, and I mean, it's very situational. I mean, it doesn't work a lot of times, but when it does work, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. And do you frog much?
Yeah, I love throwing a frog. I mean, it's a fun thing to do. But it seems like anymore there's so many people throwing a frog.
Yeah.
I kind of shied away from it here in the last year or so.
Yeah, it's I last I don't know last year I started kind of getting onto it a little bit. I caught a nice one down there when me and James went fishing, and after that it was like the bite got so addicting for me. So, like, I've been kind of setting my tackle up for it and all that. And what's some kind of stuff, you know, with your tackle? It ain't got to be just frog, but let's say like a popper and all that. What's your setup when you throw that stuff?
When I'm throwing the D-pop, I've got a signature series rod with Fitzgerald rods. It's a 6'3" medium action, and it's absolutely perfect for throwing those light topwater baits. I mean, the small pop are like the D-pop or your homemade, like, wooden prop baits and stuff that are fairly light. I mean, you can be so accurate with that little short rod. And I'll throw it and like some type of Revo reel, and I throw it on 12-pound P-Line PF original. It's monofilament, and man, you can make some accurate casts. You can roll that thing under a dock walkway or up next to a bush, and just really put the bait in some tight places where those summertime bass are going to be, you know, where they'll be tucked up under the shade and stuff with the bluegills.
Gotcha. James, you got a question for him?
Just trying to think.
trying to get as much information as we can.
Yeah. So many questions you could ask.
Yeah, if you like frog fishing, you need to check out my frog rod from Fitzgerald Rods. And that thing's bad to the bone.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that, because and I've looked at some of the Fitzgerald rods and it never really pulled the trigger yet on them. I'd like to really, because there ain't nobody around here really that sells them, and I'd like to get one in my hands and try it, you know, just see what it's like. But they look really good, though.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's an awesome rod. I mean, I use it as an all-purpose rod. I mean, I throw chatterbaits on it, swim baits, I mean, you name it.
Yeah. Now, something I've been having some issues with, and I was actually discussing with James, because we fish out of bass boats, but we also kind of got into the kayak tournament trail as well, and kayak tournaments, and been doing that. And I've had a lot of issues with missed hookups on a frog. Now, I mean, my hook ratio, I've been using a Spro Pop frog, and just some of them is my fault. You know, you jerk it out too quick or whatever, but some of them, it's just like you have them for a couple seconds and they come loose. Is there anything I can do to make it? I know other people's probably asked that question. Why in the world am I missing so many fish? And my setup, you know, I got braid, and I just got me another frogging rod. So what's the big mess up a lot of people do with these frogs?
That's kind of a tricky question, because, I mean, obviously, if you're hooking them for a second, they're getting the whole frog in their mouth. I mean, you might try opening the hooks up on the frog a little bit, maybe spreading the gap out some, just where you maybe get a little more bite. I mean, that's about the only thing you can try if you're actually hooking them and then losing them. I mean, that, get a Fitzgerald frog rod, maybe be about it.
Yeah, that might be right. I might have to.
I think a lot of time guys use too heavy of a rod for a frog. I think a lot of times people get into that, and I feel like you rip too big of a hole in the fish's mouth. I mean, when you're talking about, especially if they're biting you on a short string, I mean, if you got 50-pound P-line braid and one bites you 20 feet from the boat and you got a 7.5-foot heavy rod and you jerk as hard as you can, I mean, you're ripping something, especially if it's a big one. He's not going to come to you, so you got to rip a big hole in his mouth.
I think that's that's what I started bending my hooks out a little more, and hookups are getting better. But I think too, this time I was in a kayak, and I think me and James talking, you know, when you set the hook on a fish and a bass, but you ain't going nowhere. You set the hook on a bass and a kayak, you're pulling it, you're going to them. And I think that's some of them mess up.
Yeah, could be some over there. I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't know about the kayak, too.
I never thought I would, but I've gotten really addicted to it all of a sudden. I don't know. It's just crazy.
It would be fun.
Yeah.
If you had a little place you couldn't get a bass boat or something like that, or a river that doesn't get a lot of pressure, I can see that being a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, are you going – I'm assuming you'll be down in ICAST.
Yeah, I'll be down there at ICAST. I'll be bouncing around between the Fitzgerald booth and the P-Line booth, Stormhorn, and a couple other places.
Anything big coming out that you're looking forward to seeing or that you can tell? You know, some of these are pretty tight-lipped.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard rumors and some stuff. DeMeke's got some cool stuff coming out, but I don't think it's going to come out till after ICAST, hopefully the first of next year.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, I think the time frame they're on. So.
I know when we went down to the Classic and I had the opportunity to ride with Ott Defoe on the last day of the Classic, he caught a caught a 9-pounder on a popper by storm that was coming out. And I really want to see that bait and hopefully work it out somehow or another to get one of those baits, because after I seen that 9-pounder hit, I was like, I got to get that bait. Yeah, it was just pretty cool seeing something new like that. And I was like, man,
right.
Ott, can I get one of those? He's like, ain't nobody getting them, man. So, but, I'm looking forward to seeing that I'm hoping to see something new down there. And, you know, you hear about all the game-changing stuff, but the last couple of years I haven't seen nothing. It's been really, like, game-changing,
yeah,
game-changing
type deal.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times they try to hype it up.
Yeah, you can't hype it up so much. It's still fishing. So, well, James, you got any more questions for him?
Do you have any advice you can give us when we go down to ICAST? Is there anything that we should be looking out for?
Like I said, I haven't heard of anything much. I mean, they kind of, like y'all said, they keep it pretty tight-lipped until they unveil it or whatever. But just go around and look at everything is the best thing to do, I guess.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited about it. It's like a bucket list deal, you know. So
yeah, I mean,
never been to something like that.
It is fun.
Well,
a lot of work for you, though.
Yeah, I mean, it is. But, I mean, that's part of it. That's what.
Oh, yeah.
Companies pay you to do is sell their products. I mean, you gotta be down there promoting it, doing videos and stuff. I mean, I enjoy it.
Yeah,
we'll probably be hitting you up with some of the DeMeke stuff. So you see us rolling around the camera. It's about time. It's time to do work.
That sounds good. Yeah, come by.
But man, I appreciate you coming on. I was trying to get some more questions coming through, but couldn't get everything worked out right before. But you know, and I appreciate you kind of going in depth on covering some water and how you do it. And hopefully we can kind of get you back on. Also, congratulations on your angle of the year, and hopefully you can do it again next year.
Man, I appreciate it, guys. I hope so. We're going to take it one term at a time. As long as we can pay the bills, we're good.
That's exactly right. All right, man. Well, you have a good night, and we'll see you down at the ICAST.
Yes, sir. Y'all too. Be careful traveling.
All right. Thank you.
See you.
All right. Well, that was that's pretty good. It's when it comes to covering water and you know, like everybody's got their own different way. I thought, you know, we did hear some great baits to use and how to do it, but it's so, he makes it sound so simple. You know what I mean? Like you think about these guys, you're like, man, I bet you they throw 100 million different baits and how they do it, but you know. He's picking a topwater up and he's covering water, or he's flipping a DeMeke bait. You know, like that's how he covers water.
Yeah, and he ain't using but three different colors. You know what I'm saying? He can get any color he needs.
Yeah.
But mainly he's throwing three different colors. So it just goes to show you don't need, you know, to go buy 100 different colors of one different bait. You know. Just
that's
stick to what you have confidence in.
And, I mean, you think these guys are going from clear water to dirty water, you know, all across the country and using the same baits. And, you know, like we've talked to Dylan Hayes, which we're going to get him on here again soon, talk about his rookie year. It's the same thing with him, guys. You know, when I stayed up there with Dylan, and you look at the gear they're using, I mean, they might have one bait that they don't want everybody to know about. But other than that you look at their colors, it's all the same stuff, you know? That's why it's so hard to pry in on questions, because he already told us right up front what he uses and how he does it. It ain't so many more questions you can kind of go in and ask, you know?
That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, once you've asked a couple of questions, kind of, I mean, everyone that we've talked to, it's all the pretty much the same thing. They're just straightforward. It's just very similar, every one
yeah.
of them.
Do what you got confidence in and do what you have confidence in. You know what I mean? That's like we were
yeah.
talking earlier about, you know, about fishing the BFLs, and I was saying, you know, I was concerned about fishing some of the tidal water stuff because I'm not real good on it. I ain't got a whole lot of experience, but it's like you were saying, you know, do what you got confidence in. Go up there, fish what you got confidence in. You got to kind of learn the tidal swing a little bit to know when to be at the right spot when your bite comes on, but other than that, do what you got confidence in.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing with tide is just when it's slack. When it's slack, normally you're not going to get bit anywhere, so don't get discouraged in that time. You just got to know when slack tide is and when it's going to start pulling again.
Yeah.
But to me, I've done a lot better when I wasn't worried about what everybody else is doing and just focus on what I like to do. And there's always water that you feel confident in fishing, and you got to feel confident where you're fishing and then have confidence in the baits that you're fishing and just go fish. You know, I mean, that's the name of the game,
yeah.
you know?
Yep. Yeah. And that's, and like I say, you know, getting back to the questions, I know sometimes we kind of go short with our questions on these guys. That's why I was kind of running out. I was asking James, you know, once you get covering water, it's not a big thing. It's not a top secret thing. It's no special lure. It's just you're covering water with the bait you got confidence in. You're just fishing faster. You're fishing. You're covering water. You're fishing the main stuff. You know, if you got a whole bank that's nothing but mud, but then you got a tree that's laying down up there. You know, you want to go in there and flip that tree. Go to the next tree.
Yeah.
Covering water.
Yeah, you want to crank up, you sit down, you fish the tree, and then you head on out
yeah.
to the next one. And that's what's
now
saying,
it gets kind of complicated. It gets complicated when you get on like some of these lakes that got a lot of natural cover, like a lot of chunk rock. You know, then you kind of want to go there and flip it. But when you start fishing that stuff all the time, you start finding those pockets, and you'll say, okay, well, the way these rocks set up, you can start finding more of that. You know.
Well, then you're mainly looking for depth changes and stuff like that. You know, you might be fishing shallow rocks or might need to be fishing bluff walls. You know what I'm saying? But you could fish a whole section of the bank, but then it gets to the bluff wall and you catch them. You almost need to just ride the bank and find where you got those bluffs, you know,
yeah.
where the drop-off is. And then, you know, during the tournament like he's doing, he's running and gunning those exact spots, and he's not – fishing water that's unproductive to him, you know?
Yeah. And the kind of baits that he's talking about fishing, some days, yeah, you'll catch a lot of fish, but most of the time, you're only fishing for 5 or 6 bites a day. So when they're covering water, they're hitting those specific areas where they know hold big fish or should hold big fish.
Yeah, he's not looking for limit fish. He's looking for, you know, fish to win the tournament.
Yeah.
Too, which I think a lot of us get caught up in is just trying to get a limit. When you
That's
probably
right.
catch those bigger fish in the morning, you know, we're trying to just get 5 on the box, you know?
Yeah.
What can I do first to get 5 on the box? And then we feel more confident. Those guys
yeah.
aren't really worried about it. They're just
well,
going
too,
to catch a big fish.
And two, it bites you in the butt because sometimes, you know, we got to try to find those 5 fish to get in the box real quick. And you'll hear guys talk about they caught their biggest ones first thing in the morning. So instead of us going
yep.
out fishing for big fish, we started fishing for big fish too late sometimes. Now, sometimes we caught them like that, you know, because the way we fish, it's actually pretty slow. I bet you some people watch this fish are kind of like, geez Louise, you know, are these guys moving? Sometimes, yeah, you'll see us, we get rolling and on some, we'll move. But I know, like at nighttime, I can sit on a rock wall for hours. You know, and get those. You might only get 5 bites, but you're getting big bites, you know?
Yep.
But yeah, that was a good show. And I'm really excited about getting into ICAST and meeting up with some more pros. And in the next couple of shows, we're going to start trying to fade on into get some of the more kayak guys in. I know we did one earlier this year. I want to get another one, another kayak show. Maybe work on getting Chad Hoover back on like we did last year. So, but also trying to get some of the local guys that's been doing good and some of the events. The thing is with getting the local guys, sometimes it's really hard to get them to talk about what they're doing. And I understand that. I get that. Especially like right now, you don't want to call a guy on and say, hey, tell me how you're catching all your big fish at nighttime. Because there's a lot more night tournaments going on. So they're not going to say too much. So that's why sometimes you don't hear some of our local guys on as much. Because I just know that we're not going to be able to get the information that we could out of the pros. So, but it, you know, if y'all want to hear about anything, you can always message us. Hey, I'd like to know more about this. Or I'd like to know more about that. I'm actually trying to work on a frog show right now. And got two people in mind that I like to get on and just talk straight frog fishing. It's something that's been intriguing to me the last year and a half, 2 years, whatever now. And want to get some more information on there. And you know, frog fishing isn't a scientific technique, but there is things you want to have in line to make sure that you're able to hook up or make those good casts or get those good hook sets and stuff like that and get them boat. So, but anyways, yeah, I mean, that's James, you got anything else you'd like to add to the show tonight?
Oh man, I can't think of anything right now, man. I think it's been a really good show.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, it's just tough to add in on anything once we've asked a certain amount of questions, you know?
Yeah, they pretty much told you how they do it because it's so simple. Us as fishermen, I think we make it more complicated. You know, I say us as fishermen, us as not at the pro level, make it more complicated than it is. And that's just like the guys you see around that do really well are kind of like how these pros are. They're not making it as complicated. You know, it's most of the time, if you probably seen what they were throwing, you'd probably kick yourself in the butt and be like, why didn't I ever think of that? So, and how they were fishing it. A lot of times it's nothing scientific to it, you know. It's just time on the water and confidence in your bait.
Yeah, the only thing I think that they do a lot more than the average fisherman is changing their line and hooks.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's their key thing. I mean, they keep sharp hooks on, you know, and they'll rechange hooks throughout the day periodically, even on their crankbaits and stuff like that. And I know me, I ain't changing crankbait hooks in the middle of the day. You know what I'm saying? So,
that's
on the third level.
Well, I blame some of it too on laziness, and I'm not being funny about it. It is that, you know, when you're out there fishing, you just want to enjoy fishing. And when you're sitting there constantly changing hooks, and I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do. That's probably the right thing to do. But at us, at our level, you know, you're just ready to catch another fish. And when you come off the lake, you're probably like, daggone. I did lose a couple of fish. Probably should have changed my hooks more, you know. And kind of getting to that, you know, I'm not going to name a name, but the guy had a post on Facebook where he's been breaking hooks on a whopper plopper. Now, I know some of these hooks that come on a lot of these baits are junk. But, I mean, he was changing over to some really good hooks, and he was still breaking hooks, the back hook. And I blame a lot of that, not say on him, but like maybe his setup. Maybe he isn't changing his hook. I even commented, you know, you need to change your hooks more. You talk to some of these pros, they change your hooks a lot on crankbaits and all that because figure out how much fish you're catching on it. You're putting a pair of pliers in there trying to get it out their mouth and all that. You're weakening that hook, you know. So, and a lot of times once you bend a hook anyways, you've already weakened it.
Oh, yeah. If you've bent a hook, you know, you pretty much need to trash it at that point.
Yeah.
In a tournament, I would for sure.
Yeah.
You know, fun fishing, probably not.
Yeah. Well, that's something I want to work on this year is if I'm practicing, or maybe into next year, practicing crankbaits is putting more dummy hooks on and not actually hooking a lot of the fish, you know? Like, you talk to a lot of these guys, man. A lot of them ain't catching fish through practice. You know, they'll hang them and bring them up to the boat or whatever. They're not catching a lot of those fish, and that's what hurts me sometimes is I'll start doing that, and then, you know, 2 years ago I did in a BFL, practicing last day. Granted, where I casted, I would have probably never casted there during a tournament. It was just kind of getting slack out my line, and I catch one over 7 pounds. So, if I would have probably had a dummy hook on, I'd have never caught that fish in, and I'd have seen where she lived, you know? So, trial and error. I think that's the thing I'm going to work on next year, but, you know, kind of rambling on here. I'm just really excited about ICAST coming up. We really are excited too. We got another sponsor that come in, really big sponsor for us. Trying to get my thing pulled up here. Really want to thank Costa for coming on. And if y'all missed the last show, Yak Lights have come on, and I just got my lights in from them, which I talked to earlier in the show. I'll be getting that video up soon on the install on that on the Vibe Seago. So really want to thank Costa. Costa was a big help with me fishing. Or going to New York and all that. So going to be a big help for next year. Really excited about it. And we'll have more videos coming from Costa down there at ICAST. So really look forward to that. But other than that, guys, don't forget about our contest. Again, I'm going to show it one more time. Here we go. That all could be yours. All we're trying to do is get to 200 subscribers on Facebook. So, help us do it, guys. Share it with your friends, and we're going to pick from our subscriber list for this giveaway. It's still sitting over there in the drawer. Keep looking at it. I'm like, man, I sure would love to give that package away here soon. Sorry about that. I was looking at something. But anyways, I don't have nothing else to add to it. I don't want to keep rambling on. It's getting late. We're going to be camping out next week, guys. We'll be probably doing some videos on the way down to the ICAST just to stay awake. And so really looking forward to going down there. Guys, appreciate everything you've done. I appreciate all the subscribers and everybody's been watching our shows. Want to add one more thing. Without you guys, we would not have the views that we have now. We went from, what did I say, James, earlier this year, 2,500 views around what was it, May, April, something like
that? It was April,
we were about to hit 3,000. Yeah, we was about to hit 3,000. And we have hit 7,000, and I have a feeling before ICAST will be at 10,000. That's how fast, no lie, how fast it's growing. I made a change on something that I didn't have set up right, and all of a sudden it's exploded. So, I really want to thank all you guys for listening. And I can see that a lot of people come back and re-listen to our show. So that's even better. I really appreciate everybody for that. And looking forward to growing us even more. So stay tuned for ICAST. Lots of videos coming. You can check them all out on oneobjectivebf.com. Also got a new blog I put up. And we'll probably be writing a couple more while we're down there. So I'm going to quit rambling. James, you have a good night. I can't wait to see some more fish come up on the board. And can't wait to get some fishing in down in Florida with you, man.
I know, me too. Hopefully I'll be putting some fish on the board tomorrow, hopefully.
I hope to, man. I hope to see some numbers go up. But, guys, y'all have a good night. We'll talk to y'all later. Next show will be after ICAST, so give us about 2 weeks. We'll have another one up. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. See you, man.
See you.